All right. Thank you, Charlie. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this bargaining session between the bargaining teams for the United Faculty Florida at UCF and also the team representing the UCF Board of Trustees. The first thing that we customarily do at one of our meetings is review the minutes from our last meeting. Charlie, can you display those for us?
Just give one minute, please. Sorry, I'm trying to do minute multiple things here. Okay. It looks good to me. It's a lot.
Fine, thanks.
Yeah, it looks good.
All righty.
All right, thank you all very much. As we get into the meatier part of our session this afternoon, Talat, you had sent me an email that said that you had a response to our Article 23, and it would seem appropriate if we just had you lead off.
All right, fine. So essentially, thank you, Jack, for doing that. And what we want to do, and I think I can share screen. I think let me make sure that I have it on my screen. And yeah, I do. And so, yeah. So we have been looking, and we've been also looking at the explanations that have been given. So about the raises, and so basically, okay, let me do this. Let me do start share screen. I actually have a new laptop, so version 2. You have, yeah, okay. All right, share. Okay, can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, so the dates that I have here, if you were to respond to this, we'll of course have to make sure that the dates are going to be compatible. I wasn't sure what dates to put here, but here is where we're coming from. We have listened to the provost, and I mean, not directly, but Provost was asked in a couple of places, I think at the meeting at College of Sciences and also at the Senate, to for some explanation about the fact that we were not the proposal from BOT was no raises for this year, and it did not make the explanation because we have all gone through we all went through 2008 together, right? In 2008 everything was frozen. We, for a number of years, we did not have raises. We knew that the whole country was suffering economically, and that we should not be expecting raises. When COVID came, we also did not expect raises. In fact, we didn't know where things would go and how the economy would go. So we were all prepared to even take actually no raises, do whatever needs to be done to that everybody else is doing. But what we have found, fortunately for UCF, that UCF has actually been in a pretty good situation. UCF fortunately did not suffer after COVID either, and was one of the three universities that actually was in the black and did pretty well. UCF has now received, and now I know the numbers. When I spoke to you last time, I was using a number of 20 to 25 million because I wasn't exactly sure how much UCF had gotten. But according to the provost, the UCF got $50 million of recurring new money, out of which 15 were restricted, but $35 million were not restricted, and they could have been used for any purpose. And as we talked about last time, the instructions, or at least the hope from Board of Governors, was that they would be used for faculty raises. This is what all other campuses did. Some of them some faculty members in those campuses got as much as 16% raise, and the reason for that was that they used that to take care of compression, take care of various financial conditions that needed to be looked into, and particularly vis-a-vis members of the bargaining unit in those on those campuses. UCF is the only one that has not received any raise. And you know, when I asked a couple of colleagues at about raises, what are their raises? They were talking about raises for next year. We are still talking about raises for last year. So this and what are you talking about? You know, so this is our problem. We are way behind. This is again, I'm going to repeat again, like a broken record, that we have the largest student to faculty ratio. We have done wonders to keep UCF where it is. We believe that the student success lies in the hands of the faculty and the students and the staff and everybody else who makes this place, because without that, I don't see how we could have student success. So, you know, we really don't see why we should not be deserving of raise when money is there and when everybody else in the state has gotten it, in the Florida State University system has gotten raises. 8.5 average raise at UNF, 3.3% at UF, and so on. So we revised our a little bit, and we had asked for 8% in here. So basically, this is the proposal that we submitted to you in September of last year. And then the rates, then what we had said is October, of course, that's long, way behind. We are now, even if we were to agree on something next week, it still would take a few weeks to get ratified and to, so I put down a date, maybe it's realistic, maybe not, of April 30th of this year. And we know that the academic year ends on May 7th. So I put that there. This is all negotiable, the dates are. But basically, what we are saying is that for those members of the bargaining unit, you make at least 50,000, 50,000 or more, that they be given a 5% raise. And those who make less than 50,000 be given a 6% raise. And what we're asking is that because all of this should have happened long back, that there be a one-time payment of 2,500. We think that the funds are there, and that this is a discussion that you all should engage in, and hopefully come back with a reasonable offer. Because you know, with all the discussion that has gone on since bargaining unit members and consequently also staff and others who heard that there were going to be no raises this year, it has not been pleasant, and we do not want the morale of the place to go down. We also, you know, we are cognizant of the fact that our higher administrators are getting raises. You know, if we just look at the salary of the provost and the president over the last few years, I mean, we can give you the numbers, and I'm sure you know the numbers. Those do reflect pretty good raises. So raises are possible, raises are being given, people are being recognized. Right now, the president of this university has decided not to recognize faculty and other members of bargaining unit, all of whom go to make the place what it is. So we would like to you to go back and get, you know, just talk it over and look into the pockets and see what can be done. 5% is not a large amount that we're asking. So that's basically what we are, well, is a change in here. All other things, you know, they can be modified. I know you had made some changes in the one that you submitted to us. Those can all be incorporated. I have not done them here, but they can be done. That has to also to do with the number of arrears, and those are not problematic. We can work with all of them. But the most important thing is that raise be given and funds are there, and that's where it should be used. So that's basically what it is.
Okay, thank you very much, Talat, for sharing that with us. When we're finished, or so, sometime this afternoon, I encourage you to please send us that proposal.
Yes,
And
I'll do that right away, in fact.
I'm happy to share that with the provost as soon as I see him.
Okay, great, thanks.
A couple things that I'd like to say about the proposal. I'm not in any way in a position where I can give you an answer on that proposal, but I know you too well and I respect you too much to say that I'm optimistic that a lot would happen with this proposal. A couple things I think I can clarify. For the next fiscal year, the provost has talked about an increase of $50 million of funding. $35 million of that is recurring funding that will be used for a variety of things. There's also $15 million in one-time funds. And one-time funds certainly are not something that can be
Right.
used for things like salary increases because that only comes one time. We need the recurring funds to do the salary increases. So I just wanted to clarify, it's a total of $50 million of new funding. 35 of it, 35 million of it is recurring, 15 million of it is non-recurring. And if I just misheard the numbers before, I apologize, but just wanted to make sure that that was clear, that
That's
those were the
exactly
numbers.
so. No, thanks for clarifying. I did say that $35 million of unrestricted recurring.
Well, I don't know how I'm not able to address the question of
Okay.
whether it's unrestricted or not.
Okay.
Sometimes these funds do come with restrictions, but I know from the conversations that I've already had with the provost that some of that funding I am expecting will go for salary increases. But I think it's important that we recognize that money is not here. That money comes in the summer. That doesn't become available to us until July 1st. So we're anticipating its arrival, looking very much forward to the arrival of those additional funds, but they are they're not here at this point. I'm curious. I am familiar with some of the salary information at our sister institutions in the state university system, but I had not seen one where somebody got 16% raises.
That was at UNF. I can get you the numbers. I got it from them.
16% across the board?
No. Individual. Individual.
Ah.
They individual. So basically at UNF, it is 8.5 average. And they used it. So what they said is that they could only give us the average number because some people got high, some people got less than 8.5. So it wasn't across the board at all. No, not at all. And the numbers that I'm quoting, that is 35,000 at 35 million recurring. These are numbers that we took from what the provost had mentioned
Those are
to the
correct.
Senate.
You're correct with those
Right.
numbers, yes.
Right. And also the confirmation that we got, and we can get the numbers from all campuses, that the funds, they have used the funds already last year. I mean, this year, 23, 24, that we're talking about, they have already used those funds. And that's what the provost also said, that FIU had used those funds to give raises to bargaining unit members, which included faculty by and large. And UCF had decided to go to give it to advisors. Now, we do not believe, even if they hired a good number of advisors and gave them good salaries, we don't believe that $35 million would have gone to that. How many advisors did they hire? I mean, then the other question is that if you're really talking about student success and increasing, a graduation rate and so on, there's only so much that advisors can do. In the end, the education is given by faculty, and if they're not getting raises, then we have a problem. And also, I have to also say that it is not just the faculty, right? It's also you all, it's all the junior administrators, it's the staff, it's everyone else who makes the place run, right? I mean, so if we're talking about success, it has to include each and every one at UCF who makes the place what it is, right? I mean, we cannot. So somehow, I think the president's thanking the legislature for the funding is great. And student success is important, and it does depend on funding, but not to recognize that the individuals who make up the community at UCF, that they are not responsible for success of UCF, that we find that really problematic. Who are we? I mean, disposable, individuals who that is not how it can go. So that is the problem that we have, not recognizing that who really makes UCF succeed. I think that or who makes the students at UCF succeed. After all, that is what we are all about. It is about students, and it is about giving them the best education, the best training that we can. So yeah, I think that's what and I'm speaking in the context that all other campuses have given this raise for 23-24. Academic year. We are at the end, almost at the end of that academic year, and now we're being told that there's no raise. So, and our proposal went to you in September. That's when all these others were getting it. We're getting their raises. So we're way behind. And the funds were already there. UCF and FIU got more than others got. So I think there's some kind of discussion to be had with the provost as to why others went in this direction and they opted to not give any to the faculty. I think this it doesn't do much to boost the morale and to make people keep going, particularly with so many people leaving. And that's the other thing. We are hiring a good number of faculty right now, which is great, but that's not new money going in because we've lost a number of faculty. And the number we are hiring doesn't even make up for the number that we've lost. So I think funds are there. They are not being used for the purpose that we think they should be used. And we're only asking for a small percentage of it, right? When you do the calculation, 1% raise is about $1 million, and 5%
for the bargaining unit. The bargaining unit is just over $2 million for 1%.
$2 million, okay. So $2 million is 1%. So $5 million is 10%, and basically that's fine. That's fine. Yeah.
All right. Well, again, thank you for sharing the proposal with us. I will share it with the provost, and we'll see what sort of a response that we get. Officially.
Thank you.
I'll repeat something I said a moment ago. I'm not particularly optimistic about the proposal, and that's why the plan that I want to talk to you a little bit about this afternoon is looking ahead to the coming academic year 24-25. And hoping that we can get everything in place so that we can do an increase for our employees, including our faculty, earlier in the academic year than we have customarily do. As you pointed out, there are other institutions that had their salary increases that were effective in September or October of 2023. I'm aware of that. We've tended to implement, most recently we've been implementing increases in the spring instead of in the fall. What we talked about last time, it's still the case. What I would hope we could do is put ourselves in a position where we would be ready to implement something for 24-25 very early in the new fiscal year. But we have a lot of work to do in order to make that happen. In order to be able to make that happen, we need to have a complete full book that we agree on, that the UFF ratifies, the Board of Trustees approves as well. And what we've decided on our team is we want to try to work very hard and push to try to get that done as soon as we can, because we want to see people get those increases. And it's not a question of whether they're deserved, it's whether the funds are available. And certainly yeah. everything that has been shared with me is that the funds are not available now. But we do anticipate that there is this additional funding coming after July 1st. So
yeah, I'll just say one thing, Chuck, that if you listen to the comments that the provost has made, he has made it very clear that there was a conscious decision made to not give raises to faculty. It wasn't for lack of money. And that, and you know, we have his, the conversation he had with College of Sciences faculty, we have record of what he said at Faculty Senate. And he said they decided, he's the one who provided us the information that both FIU and UCF got more money than other institutions, and that FIU decided to fund the faculty raises. UCF decided to not do it, rather they wanted to go for advisors. Now, that's where the problem comes in. How many advisors did they hire, and what did they do? So they made a very conscious decision to not reward faculty for what they have been doing.
Well, I guess I'm just going to piggyback a little bit on that remark. I heard something differently when I heard the provost. I wasn't at the College of Science meeting, but I was present at the Faculty Senate when he talked about it. And the provost did make it clear that there were decisions made about setting priorities for preeminence, that was certainly something that the institution wants to achieve. I've not heard anybody say that there was a conscious decision not to reward faculty. There were decisions that were made in the interest of moving the institution forward toward preeminence, and there was a cost associated with those. And we're at a point
now. Yeah, and he said that faculty raise was something that they didn't want to do.
Well, I think
he was
what
asked
I heard
point
is that,
blank, and they said that is not what they wanted to do. So
I know from conversations I've had over the last few months that there has been a search for funds. There hasn't been a concerted decision not to reward faculty. A determination has been made that we're at a point right now where the funding is not available to do that. And what I'm trying to do, again, is put us in a position so that we can implement increases as early in the new fiscal year as we possibly can. That's my goal, is to make that.
No, we should go with that, but you know, the provost is on record having said it. Okay. So there's a recording of it. He knows it. He allowed the recording. There's a recording of it. And that's how I know about it, because I wasn't there.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, let's move on. We're not going to be able to.
Just as a technical point, and it doesn't matter for the purposes of the proposal, but the proposal was not from our last, the last agreed upon 23. You went back to another version to roll it forward, which is fine. I just wanted to make sure for the record you knew that that wasn't the status quo on 23.
No. No, I went to the one that we offered in September and modified that one.
And also a reminder to everyone about the ground rules is if you want to send a direct message to someone, that's fine, but please do not send notes to everyone during our session. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Charlie. So it's a lot. With this in mind, that we would like to be in a position where we can implement increases as soon as possible in the next fiscal year. That's probably sometime in the fall, admittedly. But that's kind of what we're trying to shoot for from our side. To that end, I'm here today to propose two additional articles for status quo language. The first one that I will mention is Article 4, the Management Rights Article. This is really a, I want to make sure that it's not lost on you and your team how unusual it is for us to offer that article at this time, and particularly at status quo.
Okay.
And my message to you as a colleague that I've known for a long time is we are trying to make this happen. And that should be the message in that. We are proposing Article 4, management rights. Let's leave it alone and move on. And you know, if that's something that might be acceptable to the UFF, you know, I think Charlie's already prepared TA versions of that article so we could get it done. I don't know that that's acceptable to you, but I'm just trying to make it clear we are trying to move this forward with the goal of getting increases for your membership.
Right. Right. Actually, we had given you a full list of articles that we wanted to TA. I
think
it
may
this
have
was
been
one
on
of
there.
them.
It may have been. But this is unusual. This is not an article that we typically come to the table with early in the process.
Okay.
I'm saying,
no, appreciate that.
Let's go.
Appreciate
and,
that.
and
Yeah.
So if it was on your list, then maybe it's pretty easy that
Yeah,
maybe we can
yeah. I think
create this one.
I think it is, but we should take a look.
All right. And
yeah.
then Article 15 is the tenure article. We're proposing that for status quo as well. I apologize. I don't remember whether that was on your list of
I think
articles.
It was.
Okay.
It was.
So it may be possible then for us pretty soon to increase our number of articles TA'd for the next full book from 7 to 9 at least. So we offer those to you as status quo.
Do you want me to share the screen just for everyone so that it's officially put down?
If that makes it official, let's make it official.
Just because Article 4 is a very small article, which you should recognize. And Article 15, and I can send this to you obviously after the meeting.
I'm confident that both of them were on our list. So,
I am fairly sure they were.
Yeah, they were.
So you can see there's no changes. It's the exact same
right.
document. Okay.
Perfect.
All right. Thank
Perfect.
You.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'd be great, Talat, if we can.
They were already on our list, so I think it's great. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic.
I do want to, because I've been getting messages. That I do want to remind you, though, that we do want you to go and talk to the president and the provost about the raises, about Article 23.
And I will pass Article 23 on to the appropriate people. I assure you that that will happen. I wanted to proceed in the event that is not successful. I want to move forward and try to get increases for our employees as soon as I possibly can. And that's what I'm trying to do here this afternoon. There are four other articles that I'll go through where there are some changes that we're proposing, but we think they're all very minor. And we're hoping, again, that these are articles that we could agree to TA pretty soon so we get a little momentum going toward the full book. So Charlie, can you put Article 1 up, please? There are a couple places in Article 1 where it says that we provide the UFF an advanced copy of policies and regulations and so forth. Those are all posted online. And it is our understanding that the leadership of the UFF, certainly the president, receives notice when those are posted online. So rather than putting in writing that we're going to provide, you know, a copy, those regulations, policies that are either new or amended are always posted online. And we've already made sure that those are distributed to the UFF through email, or the notices are. And then similarly, at the bottom in 1.3, with the agenda for the Board of Trustees meetings, those are posted as soon as those are available as well. When they go to the Board of Trustees, they're available on the Board of Trustees website.
Chuck, yeah, I just didn't want a clarification. I think, I do see the language, you know, now everything is electronic and everything is being posted and all that. But there's a difference in something being posted and someone being alerted that they are posted, you know, in the sense that the way it was that, you know, UFF will know that this is going on, right? I mean, that's how you know what's going on. So if it is posted, but we don't know that it's going on, then that's the problem, right? So I think you mentioned that not just posted, but that an email will be sent.
The UFF president is on the mailing list for at least the policies and regulations.
And that was okay. So we will talk about it. I think we just need to make sure. I mean, posting is fine, but we need to make sure that you know, when that posting is done, somebody is alerted that this is going on.
I know it for sure. It's happening.
We didn't want to change very much because we didn't want to, you know, cause any problems. But it could be said that it will be sent to the president's email. But we were trying to minimize changes, so we didn't want to spook
you,
but we were trying something.
No, that's
else.
Fine. We can come back with a small change. Yeah.
And I will see what I can find out about the BOT agenda. If there's
All right.
a mailing
is
list.
That are you done with this one?
I think that's everything on Article 1.
Okay, great.
Article 12 is next.
Hold on.
That's the change we would like to make to Article 12. Because of previous changes in Article 13, this change at the very beginning of Article 12, there's no longer a reference to Article 13, and we just would like to strike it.
Okay.
That's it. So that's what we'd like to do with Article 12. Article 14, please, Charlie. There we go. At the bottom of the page. So 14.3B, it's said that, you know, employees eligible for promotion to professor shall request a CPE and be similarly apprised of their progress toward promotion at least once prior to submitting their dossier. Now, what we're proposing is that employees who are eligible for promotion to full professor may request a CPE prior to submitting their dossier. There's nothing stated about how frequently they can do that. It's entirely their decision. We think that with the statewide implementation of post-tenure review, some of the purposes that were served by this CPE for someone who's an associate professor, that this is no longer mandatory. This would no longer be mandatory for those faculty. And this is something that came up before. I know there's been some discussion about this. We kind of hope this is more in line with what you would like. If there's an associate professor that would like the promotion and tenure committee in their unit to do an evaluation, how are they doing toward promotion? Absolutely, they can still request that, but it's not mandatory. It would not be mandatory if we made this change.
This is what we had requested in any case. I think we appreciate that.
All right, sounds like we're making some progress here, Talat. This is good.
Yeah.
Charlie, Article 21. In Article 7, which we TA'd in December, there's a statement about copies of the collective bargaining agreement, hard copies being available. And there's really duplicate language in the CBA. So it's our recommendation that we go to only one statement so that we never contradict ourselves in case we would miss one if we were modifying it.
Okay.
But since we've agreed on this very similar statement in Article 7 already, we'd like to just strike it from Article 21 to make sure we don't make a mistake in the future.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. So what we are hoping is that we are, you know, proposing relatively minor changes to those Articles 1, 12, 14, and 21.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're just hoping that we can come to tentative agreement on those pretty quickly and again, start building some momentum toward completing the full book. So we will make sure that you get those articles with those proposed changes. It's a lot, and I thank you for the chance to present those to you this afternoon. We
Sounds
were asked,
good. Yeah. Sounds good.
Thank you. We were asked at our last bargaining session to revisit the proposal that the UFF had for Article 3. And we've done that. And in particular, Rob Casanello asked us to look at the office space question. We realize, and thank you for sharing with us, that at Florida International University, there is in the collective bargaining agreement an office is provided to the UFF and storage space is as well. And, you know, we just are not in a position to do that. I don't know all the details about space at FIU, but I've become quite familiar with a lot of the space issues on our campus. And we are pleased to continue to provide the office that you have right now. There's no plan to take that away. But I, at the same time, I can't guarantee that it's going to stay forever because of the pressure that we're seeing on all kinds of space, research space most of all, but office space included. I was actually at a meeting of the University Space Committee this morning, and we saw one college who's hiring 37 faculty for the fall, and they've very carefully gone through their current inventory of space, but they're asking us to identify on the order of 20 faculty offices and 11 labs for what would be new employees. So we're in the process of figuring out how that's going to take place. As we are excited about the new money that we've been talking about that will be coming in with the new fiscal year, the new recurring funds, the new one-time funds, there's some disappointment that the building that the university had as its top priority, which would have been research too, was not approved for funding. And you know, that would have helped as well. That's not going to help so much with offices, but space is very tight, and and we just don't feel like we can commit to a permanent office. But at the same time, I want to make it clear there's no intention to change anything about that. But at some point, that may come up again. So I mean, our position on Article 3 really is status quo is the way that we'd like to go with 3. And we mentioned this also last time. On Article 5, we would like status quo language on Article 5 as well. And Craig had spoken at one of our bargaining sessions, I guess two sessions ago, about the concerns that we had with Article 5 that really creates a very difficult position, puts the university between a rock and a hard place. And something that I said last time at our bargaining session, I want to reiterate, is the university is sticking by its support of academic freedom. And that's why we're suggesting that status quo language for Article 5 is appropriate.
Yeah, we'll certainly take a look at these and get back to you. I think I, from what I see, the changes are minor in the ones that you are proposing. Right, yeah.
Okay, so again, hopefully some of these articles we can come to terms on for the next full book and make some progress moving forward. The next thing that I wanted to bring up, you had shared with us a proposal two sessions ago about an MOU for post-tenure review performance improvement plans. And I struggle a little bit understanding the MOU, but I think I have, I think I understand it now. And I believe what's being suggested to us is that for faculty who, as a result of their post-tenure review, are placed on a performance improvement plan, if the 5 years that were included in the evaluation that was done overlapped with the COVID period, and there were four MOUs that we had that covered parts of three different academic years, the way they were timed, that anybody that ends up on a performance improvement plan, if their evaluation years overlapped with the COVID MOUs, that they would get an additional year on their performance improvement plan. Is that, am I summarizing that?
That's exactly it. So basically, you know, the post-tenure review essentially came out of the blue, right? We were not, people were not expecting it. And obviously, the first cohort of colleagues who went through post-tenure review was just recent, right? And it was 5 years. So this is the 2024. So obviously, you went as far back as, well, it was done last year, 2023. So 5 years back, you went to 2018, right? Obviously, the COVID period was quite in the middle of that. And so essentially what we're saying is that, yes, if somebody got a performance improvement plan, then, you know, there were all these hardships with labs and everything else and if they fell behind, then that should be treated the same way as we treated colleagues who were on tenure earning positions, that they were given a year or 2 years, depending on when it was. So that's exactly what we're talking about. In other words, we are not saying that this should be done in perpetuity, but only when that 5 year period, COVID is within that 5 year period, which is basically 2020 to 2022.
Well, I'm glad that I understand it, and thank you for confirming that that I did understand it. As we read it, and with that understanding, now that I know I'm understanding it correctly, there still are concerns that we would be in violation of the BOG regulation, which says that a performance improvement plan has to be completed in no more than 12 months. And if we were to add an additional year on that, we would be in violation of the BOG regulation. And that's a concern that we have about that. It's a very serious concern. We do not want to be at odds with the Board of Governors regulation, because I think that's regulation.
Yeah, but this can be negotiated,
10.006, right?
Right, but this can be negotiated, right? I mean, this is something in which you can get a clarification.
Well, I don't
I mean,
see how.
first,
I think the regulation is pretty clear. And another regulation has come up a couple times recently that we are painfully aware of is Regulation 4.004, Bog Regulation 4.004, which says if we don't abide by bog regulations, we can lose funding, which we do not want to see happen for a number of the reasons that we've already talked about today. We would like to maintain the funding that we have. We'd like to see that funding level increase. We don't want to jeopardize losing some of that funding because we've elected not to follow or not to abide by the bog regulations. So that's our biggest concern, is that we would be jeopardizing the funding to the entire institution if we were to go with a lengthier performance improvement plan. Now, the results of the post-tenure review are coming out next week, as I understand it, on April 4th. And I don't know exactly what those results are going to be, but I think what we will have, we'll all have at that time, is a better sense of how post-tenure review is going to work, how it's going to affect faculty, how many people are in each one of the evaluation categories as a result of the post-tenure review. I don't have that information right now. I don't know what it's going to be. But you know, it may turn out that we see, well, there really isn't a problem. You know, we're trying to fix something that's not a problem. And I don't think we want to put ourselves in a position where we're jeopardizing our institutional funding for a non-problem.
We could see, you know, if it's April 4th is coming, we could certainly we'll have an idea.
Yeah, but so I think in my mind it's very clear what we should do, that this is problematic for us, and the last thing I want to do is agree to something that's going to harm the funding that we need so much to be able to reward our employees, including our faculty. So I don't want to see that happen. But I think pretty soon we may be in a position to better understand what the impact of post-tenure review is going to be on the institution and on our faculty. So what we could do right now, I'm saying this does not look attractive to us, but I'm willing to say, why don't we look at some data and maybe discuss again? But
Okay, that's fine. I
I'm
mean,
pretty much convinced we would be violating a bog regulation if we did this.
April 4th is not that far away, so that is not a problem.
Yeah, that's 8 days away from today.
Yeah.
Okay, the last thing that I had on the points that I had sent to you, Clyde, was to bring up something that we had talked a little bit about last time, was this idea of updating our arbitration panel.
Right.
And that will affect some of the language, at least in Articles 19 and 20. And I don't think we have to worry so much about the language. For the benefit of everyone that's here this afternoon, the collective bargaining agreement basically says within 90 days of us reaching agreement on a full book, we're supposed to have a meeting. It's not a collective bargaining meeting, but it's a meeting where we talk about who might be qualified arbitrators. And we're supposed to have a list of at least nine arbitrators. I don't know when the last time that happened was. Okay. So shame on all of us. We didn't abide by the terms to the agreement that we'd all agreed to. And we need to correct that. We need going forward. This time, Talat, when that full book is signed, your name's going to
We
be on
should
it
do
and my
that.
name's
We'll
going to
get
be on
together.
it.
Yeah.
So,
And then we can set up the criteria that would be acceptable to both sides.
right. And
Yeah, we fully understand.
So
Some of them
that's
are
something that
arcane.
we need to do that just
Yep.
to get it right. And in
Yep.
fact, Craig and I were talking a little while ago, and one of the things that he suggested, which I think is a good idea, is to do this annually. And we could even put it language in there, every fall semester as a new academic year starts, we just get together. It may not take long if we've got a list where
Yes,
we have
just update the
nine
list.
people that are acceptable and they're all still working, we're done.
Sounds
Or
good.
if we want to add to it, there's somebody we've heard about. Craig, is there anything you would like to add to this?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Chuck and Talat. Talat, basically what Chuck is saying, I do think that the language should be modified a bit in 20 and potentially 19, but not necessarily significantly. What we're talking about is where it says within 90 days we should meet. Kind of clarify to say each fall, or we should get together, meet, and to update our list of qualified arbitrators to be on the panel, and we should meet annually to do that. So I could we could it's really only a couple sentences that would need to be modified, and then we would have to do that annually, and then we could talk in more detail at that meeting about the things. But again, I think that they'd be things to hopefully benefit us all. Again, coming up with an agreed upon rate that the arbitrators on the panel need to agree to, that the arbitrators either need to be in the state of Florida, or if they're coming from outside the state of Florida, agree to waive travel. Things to hopefully benefit us all, for the price and the reason to do it annually would be also so we can not only confirm our list annually, but I think it'd be a good idea for us to then reach out to the arbitrators annually to make sure they're still in agreement with the terms and to make
Available.
sure they're still practicing
Available.
all
Yeah.
of that. So that it's I guess in where Chuck said, while not putting together the absolute formalized language yet, we still have kind of two or so pieces on the Article 20 and 19, and they go hand in hand. Is one is assuming you guys are okay with the big picture of what we've talked about, that this really only comes into play where arbitration is not prohibited. So if you guys are okay with keeping the language very similar to what it is, with the addition of that those paragraphs that we previously relayed that talk about if arbitration's, I'm paraphrasing, but if arbitration is prohibited by law, the step two decision is the final agency disposition. At some point, I thought you were okay with that. And then also, I know that you also said you wanted to talk to your team. So if you're okay with that, then the remainder of the language could be just slightly modified to address the panel issue. And I think, Chuck, if it's okay with you, there was one point, I think, where the language currently in the agreement talks about, I think we just want to clarify that the arbitrations would occur on campus, with the exception if the parties agree to it being somewhere else. And that's, I mean, that's typically how they've been done in practice, and just clarifying that. And I mean, we get a free space for the arbitrations to be on campus, so it would be to everybody's benefit. Just kind of cleaning up some stuff that I presume has been many years in the agreement,
Right.
pre-existing
Yeah.
me and those type of things. But again, I think from my end is confirmation that you guys are okay with the big picture of the where we're at, and then we could modify those sentence or couple sentences, and then we'll be meeting annually. Also, and like I already have a confirming that it would be us meeting, because my last meeting was with UFF statewide, a person by the name of Allison Clark. I had spoken
Yeah,
to
sure.
about a slightly more than a year ago, and then the everything started to, change a
Okay.
bit. But
Okay.
we can get there. I won't take, some of you may be aware I'm long-winded, so I'm just gonna stop right now.
No, you're fine.
As I just repeat myself. But
Yeah, no, that's fine, Craig. I think it's important because we haven't met on this at all.
right.
We, in fact, I don't.
All right.
Yeah, it would be a good thing to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So from my end, just to shorten it, is I guess the two things that the ball's in your court for purposes of saying big picture, we're okay with what you proposed. Yeah. And then once we get that agreement, we can pin down that final.
Then we do that. Yeah. We should get to that. Yeah. Yeah. The salary thing is very much on our minds right now. But yeah, because we are getting a lot of pressure.
100% get it.
A lot of pressure from all sources.
Totally understand. I'm going to mute myself now.
Yeah. All right. And you know, we certainly understand if you're not making over a certain threshold, it is not easy to live in Orlando and every penny counts, you know. And I realize that. I realize that. So when people, they're writing to us, that, you know, getting emails all the time. And so they say, don't take your eyes away from the raises. And so that's where we are. Yeah. And I think you can appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Is there anything else from your side this afternoon, Talia?
I don't think so. Anything else, folks? I don't think so. I think just get us some money, Chuck. I think that's you just have to go and make the case, be our advocate, and I think that's it. That's all we need. The money is there. Just get it to us.
I'll see what I can do, Talat.
I have a lot of faith in you, Chuck.
Oh, thank you. Now I'm feeling a lot of pressure, but. That's okay. I don't mind. I can take it. Again, well, we thank everybody for being here this afternoon. We thank you for the discussion that we've had about this. I really want to reiterate that our focus is really trying to get to a full book, because a full book, we believe, is the closest thing we've got to a guarantee that we're going to be able to do something soon. And that's why... Okay. I'm trying to push the pedal down on that.
That's in our interest too. So we appreciate that. Yeah. And that,
well, I think
that
we're
would
all
be good.
Working in the same direction.
That would be, I hope so. I mean, as I've always maintained, we are on the same side. And you know, if we get raises, you get raises. So, you know, we're all on the same side. And I think we really need to, So I think we should be working together, and I do hope I think you know, the raise issue apparently, you know, not apparently, but is very important, and if that can be addressed, I think that would take a lot of pressure from us.
We will share the proposal that you sent us this afternoon. We'll come back with an answer.
And thank you to all of you who joined us. Appreciate your coming and keeping us honest, and getting us to get the things done that, you know, is important for the university. I mean, you know, it's for the well-being of the whole enterprise that we're in.
Okay, I'm going to stop the recording now.
Yeah.
Is that okay? All right.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you so much, everyone. Yeah.
Thank you.